O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. True God of true God, light of light eternal, our lowly nature he hath not abhorred. Son of the Father, begotten, not created, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Jungle Jams, there's a story where I do the different voices, and based off of a radio program. This is a story about Marvy Snuffleson and the Razzle Flabbins, so it's a little different than the jungle animals. And I only have four voices in this one, and two of them are very similar, Carl and Olaf. So Carl's going to be over here, and Olaf's going to be over here, because otherwise there's no way you'll be able to tell them apart. I can't. Marvy's straight in the center. His dad's over here, and the other character is right about there, and we'll get to him. It's safe to say that Christmas Eve is one of the most exciting nights of the year. At least it is for Marvy Snuffleson. He got that right. But there was one particular Christmas Eve I don't think he'll ever forget. You got that right, too. It started out like his previous six Christmas Eves. Marvy was in his usual place, parked next to the tree, holding, hugging, and otherwise caressing all the presents bearing his name, and even a few that weren't. Katie. Do I know a Katie? It's his sister. Anyway. This behavior didn't exactly go over well with his dad. Marvy, don't you think you're getting a little carried away with your gifts? Remember the old saying, 'tis more blessed to give than receive. Obviously, the person who said that never received anything. Marvy, son, getting gifts isn't the most important thing about Christmas. It's the act of giving that's most important. Dad, you're some piece of work. Where do you come up with these ridiculous ideas? Needless to say, that didn't really go over well with Marvy's dad. And instead of staying next to the tree, Marvy found himself in another familiar place. My room. I think Dad has really missed it this time. Getting gifts has to be what Christmas is all about. If it isn't, then why did the store start advertising at the end of August? Marvy sighed again and looked at his nightstand. There sat one of his favorite holiday decorations, one of those little glass balls filled with water, and when you shake it, tiny snowflakes flutter down onto a Christmas tree or a warmly lit house. It's called a snow shaker. Anyway, the scene inside this particular snow shaker was the nativity. Marvy picked it up, shook it, and watched as snow gently fell on the baby Jesus. Then he turned it over and saw at the bottom had a little cork. I wonder what that's for. And being the naturally curious sort, he pulled it out. Immediately, the water started trickling out of the glass ball. Marvy tried to put the cork back in, but it didn't seem to fit. The curious thing was, the water didn't stop trickling out. Uh-oh. In fact, it started coming out harder. Marvy dropped the ball on his bedroom floor and jumped onto his bed. And suddenly, water and snow started gushing out of the ball. It rose higher and higher, flooding the whole bedroom. It picked up Marvy's bed, crashed it around the room, then carried it out of his window and onto the open sea. Whoa! Marvy woke up on the beautiful beach of Razzleflabben Island. He was happy to see that it was also caught up in the holiday spirit. I've never seen palm trees with Christmas ornaments before. Festive decorations were hung, Yule logs burned bright, and chestnuts roasted on open fires as fake snow swirled around everywhere. Marvy was enjoying the scene when Olaf, one of his Razzleflabben friends, walked up to him.
Season's greetings, Marvy. Oh, thanks, and Merry Christmas to you, too. I was just on my way home for a delicious cup of eggnog. Care to join me?
Sure, I've never been to your house before.
They went to the little ranch-style tract hut where Olaf lived. Carl's hut is right over there. Same floor plan, except he turned his third bedroom into the optional den.
They stepped inside, and Marvy was surprised to see no furniture. In fact, the only thing in the whole house was a very cool super-speed racetrack.
Wow! Oh, I see you've noticed my very cool super-speed racetrack. A beauty, isn't it? My most prized possession.
Cool! But where are the cars?
Oh, I don't have any cars. Just the track.
No cars? Then how do you play with it?
Well, I watch it.
Just watch it?
Yes, try.
After a few minutes of watching the racetrack, a confused Marvy looked at Olaf.
Isn't it fabulous, Marvy?
Sure.
Where'd you say Carl lived again?
Without taking his eyes off the track, Olaf pointed to Carl's hut, and Marvy took off, thinking Olaf was, well, slightly bonkers. I mean, an empty racetrack is the craziest prized possession I've ever heard of. At least, he thought this until he entered Carl's hut. For sitting in the middle of his front room was a bicycle with no tires?
Yes, gorgeous, isn't it?
This is your most prized possession?
It means more to me than anything in the world. Well, almost anything.
Almost?
My friendship with Olaf comes first. That's why I got him the racetrack.
Oh, you did that?
Yes, I knew he always wanted one.
It'd probably mean a lot more to him if he had some race cars to put on it.
Race cars! Now there's a thought! Marvy, that's a wonderful Christmas gift idea! You're brilliant!
Well, I do what I can.
I'll rush right out and get them. Now you have to promise not to tell Olaf.
Oh, I promise.
Good. I want you both to meet me out front this afternoon. Race cars. Brilliant.
And with that, he took off. Marvy walked back over to Olaf's hut and found him still watching his empty racetrack.
Was Carl home?
Yes, but he had to go out. He wants us to meet him out front this afternoon.
What did you think of his bike?
Well, you didn't like it?
Why not?
It has no tires.
Is that important?
Only if Carl wants to ride it.
Oh, good point. You know, come to think of it, tires would make a wonderful Christmas gift.
Yes, they would.
But I don't know anything about them.
Well, I can help you out there.
Really? Then what are you waiting for?
Olaf took Marvy to the Razzleflabben Island mercantile shop, where they met a very unusual Razzleflabben named...
Tell yourself, Hans, tell yourself, at your service. So you need bicycle tires, eh? Well, you've come to the right place. I've got them in all sizes and shapes, even the new square ones. Very big on Smithenbiven Island. Here, just take a look at the selection.
They looked, and Marvy picked out just the right ones for Carl's bike.
Excellent choice, excellent choice.
Yes, Unfortunately, tires don't come cheap, and I haven't got the funds to get them. Not to worry, not to worry. There are other means. Do you have a credit card? No. Anything liquidatable, such as stocks, bonds, CDs, the odd pork belly? I'm afraid not. That does pose a problem. It would appear your fiduciary requirements are insufficient to conclude this transaction.
I don't get it.
Exactly. Oh, dear, I was afraid this would happen. If only I had something to trade for the tires, then we'd have a deal.
I own very few possessions. In fact, the only thing I really have is my racetrack.
What?
Would you take that for the tires?
Of course, of course.
No, you can't.
Why not, Marvy?
Well, it's, your most prized possession.
I know, but Carl's my best friend.
Hans, you've got yourself a deal.
So that afternoon, Olaf and Marvy met Carl in front of his house. I have a special gift for my friend Olaf.
And I have a special gift for my friend Carl.
Where am I?
Now you have to open my gift first.
No, 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 no. I want you to open mine first.
No, no, please. I insist.
I have an idea. Let's open them both together.
Excellent. You go first.
Perfect. Olaf tore into his present.
Oh, Carl. Race cars.
For your track. It was Marvy's idea.
You knew all along, Marvy?
Yes, I wanted to tell you, but Carl made me promise not to.
Come on, Olaf, try them out.
Well, Carl, I'd love to, but there's a small problem. I don't have the racetrack anymore.
You don't?
No, I traded it to Hans Tuyersel for this.
Olaf handed Carl his gift.
Olaf, bicycle tires.
Marvy chose them. Put them on your bicycle. I want to see you ride like the wind.
That would be wonderful, but I can't.
You see, earlier today, I paid a little visit to Hans Tuyersel.
Carl, you didn't.
Yes, I traded my bike for the race cars.
There was a long pause. Marvy felt bad for his friends. Then suddenly, Carl and Olaf started laughing.
Thank you, Olaf.
No, no, thank you, Carl. This is the most wonderful Christmas we've ever had and the best gifts we've ever received.
Oh, that's true.
How can you say that? You can't race the cars without the track, and you can't ride the tires without the bicycle. How can you say they're the best gifts you've ever received when they're completely useless?
Because the cars and the tires aren't the gifts we're talking about, Marvy.
Huh?
Don't you see, Marvy? Carl gave his most prized possession to get me these cars, just to make me happy. And Olaf did the same thing for me with the tires. The gifts we're talking about aren't cars and tires, but gifts of friendship and love.
That's what giving is all about, Marvy. In fact, that's what Christmas is all about.
Well, that and snow shakers. Yeah, that goes without saying.
Suddenly, Marvy remembered the conversation he had with his dad.
So this is what he was trying to tell me.
The rest of the afternoon was spent at a delightful feast of roasted beef kebabs and figgy pudding. Everyone had a wonderful time eating, laughing, and singing Christmas carols.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traveled afar.
Then Carl and Olaf walked Marvy back to his bed on the beach. Marvy climbed onto his bed, and they all said goodbye.
Bye, guys. Goodbye, Marvy.
Goodbye, Marvy.
Marvy watched as the Razzle Flappins walked off.
Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, oh.
Oh, sorry, I was a little flat there. Yeah, I think you need a minor seventh. Yeah, probably.
Anyway, slowly he drifted off to sleep as a wave gently pushed him back out to sea. When he woke up, it was Christmas morning. Marvy rushed downstairs as fast as he could. Everyone was opening presents. But before Marvy opened a one, he gave everyone in his family a great big hug.
What was that for, sport? For giving me the best Christmas gift I've ever had. You, I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too, Marvy. Can I open my presents now?
Sure, Dad. That's what's important to you.
The end.
I want to sing another Christmas hymn. The words will be up here, or if you want to follow along in the hymnal, there might be one around you or behind you. If you want to turn, it's number 142.
As with gladness men of old
did the guiding star behold, as with glory they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to Thee. As with joyful steps they sped to that lowly manger bed, there to bend the knee before Him whom heaven and earth adore. So may we with willing feet ever seek Thy mercy seat. As they offered gifts most rare at that manger rude and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sins alloyed, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to Thee, our heavenly King. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way, and when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last, where they need no star to guide, where no clouds Thy glory hide.
Thanks, Ryan and Keith. This past week, our family watched the Nativity stories. Anybody watched that together? Anybody here? Okay, not very many. I'd recommend you watch that if you get a chance. I think it came out last year. But it was interesting for me to watch this story. It was not the calm, peaceful, serene scene that I'm used to thinking about or used to stories I'm used to hearing about when Jesus came as a baby. It brings out the fact that Jesus really came into a harsh and difficult world, a complicated world. And in fact, I was interested how it portrayed Mary and Joseph, and it showed the difficulty of what this brought on their lives, even as Mary having a child out of wedlock, and the effect, some of the thoughts that she may have had during that time, some of the thoughts that Joseph might have had, the fact that they really were very poor people, really had nothing, and the idea of them traveling this 100 miles to Bethlehem with Mary being pregnant on this donkey, and the difficulties of that journey. I was just struck with this story in a whole different light about what it really was like. Jesus came from a poor family. He came into a country that was under the iron fist of the Roman government. And they brought some of that out to show some of the difficulties that were experienced by the Jews during that time. He came in under the government of Herod. And if you know about Herod, you know that he was a wicked man. He was a paranoid man. And can you imagine a ruler ordering the murder of 2-year-old boys and younger? Can you imagine that happening if a ruler in this country were to make that order for an area of the country? What would that be like for those people, those parents, those moms and dads living in that part of the country, to see their children come in, their children be murdered by Herod and his soldiers? Really, thinking about what terror was, what happened during some of those days. Now, you might ask, why do you focus on those kinds of things at Christmas? Well, this morning I want to focus on the theme of Jesus, light of the world. And I think for us to really grasp that theme, Jesus, light of the world, we have to realize that the world is a dark place in many ways, that sin has ravaged this world. And the great hope of Jesus coming into the world, what that means for us and what that means for the whole world. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." This morning I was looking through my email and I received an email off the website. And I was reading it, and it's from a lady named Heidi. I don't know who she is, but this is what she had to say. She said, "My husband is a crack addict. My marriage is in shambles. My finances are in shambles, and his salvation is in shambles. I am exhausted and am losing faith that anything will ever change, and am ready to leave him or have him leave. I need a miracle soon. I have been dealing with this for 6 years, and I'm at my limit. Please pray for a miracle for the Christmas or New Year. I'm slipping into darkness way too fast. Also, my mother-in-law has been diagnosed with stomach cancer and given 3 months to live." And as I thought about Christmas and I thought about this email, it just made me realize that there is a lot of difficulty going on in the world around us. And sometimes I can feel isolated from that. Our family opened our gifts yesterday and had a good family time together. Just a wonderful time. And I have to say, I didn't think a whole lot about the difficulties others are experiencing or some of the pain that sin brings into the world. But as I read this email, it brought this back into my mind. This idea that Jesus, light of the world, we really do desperately need his light, and the world desperately needs his light. And that's why I chose this theme. Question I want you to think about today: do you understand how great and wonderful is the coming of Jesus to a dark world? Maybe things are going great for you, and you haven't thought about maybe what the sacrifice was that Jesus made and how great it was. Or maybe things have been pretty low for you and you understand things have felt dark. And you need to experience the light that Jesus can bring. Well, I hope this season can bring some tremendous hope to you. And I hope it can bring hope for the entire world. We're going to sing a song here while the Advent candles are lit. And it's one, a favorite of mine. I'll warn you, it's a little difficult. Keith, you want to come up? So don't give up on it. It has, one of the reasons I like this song is it talks about hope. It talks about comfort. It talks about what Jesus brings to us. And it's called "Comfort, Comfort Ye My People." And we'd like to ask any of you who would help us lead it, if you could come up here. Some of you who may know this song, would you join us up here on the stage? Be brave. And if you've sung this before.
That's right. Some of you are in the LCF impromptu choir and you don't even know it.
That's right. You're having a choir and you're part of it. So
I have copies of it. If several of you would come on up, we're all going to sing it together. But I thought at least if several that know it can be up here helping me lead it. So we need some basses, some tenors, some sopranos, altos. Come on up.
Comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath their sorrows load. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over. Yea, her sins our God will pardon, blotting out each dark misdeed. All that well deserved his anger, he no more will see or heed. She hath suffered many a day, now her grief weeks have passed away. God will change her pining sadness into ever-springing gladness. Hark the voice of one that crieth in the desert far and near, bidding all men to repentance, since the kingdom now is near. Oh, that warning cry obey, now prepare for God away. Let the valleys rise to meet him, and the hills bow down before him. Mark ye straight why long rest crooked, make the rougher places plain. Let your hearts be true and humble, as befits his holy reign. For the glory of the Lord, now on earth is shed abroad, and all flesh shall see the token that his word is never broken.
Next, I've asked four different people to share about the question, how has Jesus been a light in your world this year, this past year? So I'm going to let them come up each in the order listed there and share.
How has Jesus been a light in my life this past year? This has been an odd year for me. Not the trials some have had to deal with this past year that have brought them to their knees in prayer and total dependence on God as healer and provider. My problem is I've gotten busier, and I'm working more outside of the home, and this means I'm not as organized, and I don't spend as much time on things I feel are important. What things are important to me? Time with family, immediate and extended, and keeping our home tidy and welcoming, and spending time with the Lord. Thank God for bedtime rituals that children depend on. Some of our bedtime prayers were the only ones I uttered for a whole day. There were some of those prayer times I felt empty with nothing to offer. Those were reality checks that helped me realize the need I have of the light of light in my life. And when I begin to clutter the light with stacks of obligations, it becomes dimmer until I'm in a fog. I've recently had the experience of slightly failing eyesight. What an awful feeling to be in a fog. It's like someone turned the lens out of focus or dimmed the lights. This is what happens when I don't spend time with God in prayer and meditation and reading his words. These disciplines have always been hard for me until I just sit down and do them, and then I really enjoy it and I get a lot out of it. We've had some really good sermons here regarding this, and I've been very encouraged, but I just still need to do it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This past year, I've been ministered to by some old hymns, and these tremendous words set to music are very soothing and reassuring, and they have been a source of Christ as light to my world. This track from Jars of Clay expresses my need.
Thank you. every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee, I need.
Christmas. Jesus, light of the world. In preparing to speak, I found many passages in the Bible referring to Jesus being the light. One in John, where John the Baptist is explaining that he had come as a witness to the light, and another in Matthew that spoke to me personally. Let me read it. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So Jesus is the true light of the world, but he wants me to let my light shine for his glory. I've been thinking a lot about several sermons that Rob's given on sharing the word with others, and I've felt a real calling to improve myself in this area. Unlike some of you who feel you're searching for who to share with, I feel overwhelmed with all the opportunities that I have. For example, my job, I'm a physical therapist, work in a hospital or two, and I encounter hundreds of people every day that I work, doctors, nurses, other therapists, social workers, case managers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, not to mention the patients themselves. I also play soccer one day a week with a group of women who come from all different walks of life, the many neighbors that I encounter on a daily basis,
and also the many opportunities through my children, such as play dates that I set up, sports teams, preschool that they attend, and even this summer I provided swimming lessons for some children, and mostly in my neighborhood. So I've started trying to use all these opportunities to let my light shine for Jesus. I believe if we live for Christ, we're showing others what Christ is like. In the study notes in my Bible, it talks about different things about how we hide our light. Number one was when we're quiet, when we should speak. Number two is going along with the crowd. Number three is denying the light. Number four is letting our sin dim the light. Number five is not explaining our light to others. And number six, by ignoring the needs of others. The two that stand out to me personally are being quiet when we should speak and not explaining our light to others. So I have a tendency to sit back and listen, let other people do the talking. But I'm learning that there are times when it's important for me to speak up and also to give the glory of my actions to Christ. So I want to finish up by listening to a song that I learned as a child, and I'm sure most of you did too, but it's brought new meaning to my life recently. Feel free to sing along if you'd like.
Sent this email and asked, how has Jesus been the light in your world this past year? I had to think back to last January, in December and January of 2007. I had the inmates pick a verse for the year for them at the prison. And I went back and looked at my verse, and my verse was 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. And then it says, test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And at that time, I wasn't thinking about what kind of test it might be, but I was thinking more like Lisa this morning when she was saying that you know, she got sidetracked with things of the world. I was feeling that way, too. And really, to say how the light shined this year, it shined in three ways, and it really didn't shine from us. It shined from lots and lots of other people. And I'll talk about the three F's. Shine through faith, our faith, my faith. Shine through family, and it also shined through friends. Shine through friends, there were cards and food and words of encouragement that shine from a lot of you at LCF. A few of you I'll mention. Molly provided a lot of food in our freezer and little meals. Marcia organized people bringing meals to Karen Jeff's house for us. Molly was Brenda's coach for a month or so. June 1st, Kevin provided a ride home for me from the hospital. Those are just a few. Some friends that you don't know about. At school, there were friends. One friend in my building, Joyce, she organized touching base with a friend in Brenda's building named Eileen. And Eileen printed up all the pictures of all the teachers in Brenda's building She went to Wilson's, and Wilson printed them all and blew them up in pictures and did it all for free. Those were friends in the community. Even friends worldwide in Thailand, when the group went over from here, all the people over there, the five or six people there, wrote us nice notes, including Tom and Candace. And I have to tell you about Brenda's sister, Marcia. She has some prayer partners. They're little boys. They're orphans in India. And they always asked Marcia, do you have any prayer requests? And so they were praying for Brenda. And they kept asking, how can we pray more for Brenda? So we had people worldwide, friends praying for us. Our family, of course, was right there for us. Our three kids, you know, I'm sure it hurt a lot, but they were there. Even our grandkids missed Grandma for a while. I have to tell the story of Calvary. She's the only one that can remember Brenda before she was sick. And on the way, she was desperate to go up and check me out when I was in the hospital. She wanted to make sure I didn't have the same thing Grandma had. It was just kind of interesting. Didn't think about that. Also, the extended family, the tribe of Levi, got into gear, into action. Brenda's sister Rhonda organized a schedule for us, especially when Brenda was in ICU. We had someone visit Brenda every 4 hours. And many other things I could mention that the family did. Two of my sisters came for 2 weeks when Brenda was in the hospital, and then Mim and Liz came back when I was in the hospital. But I guess I have to come to the final one, my faith. My faith is still being tested. It's very hard to sort out my feelings right now in the busy world that I live in. And for men especially, it's hard because you like to fix things, especially when things are out of control. You like to get them back into control. But when you can't get them back into control, that's really a test. And I always like to think that I was dependent on God. But things like this with Brenda being in the hospital for 44 days, and then I having cancer diagnosed in September, there were many times I just wanted to ignore God for not helping us sooner. But I've come to the realization that I need God. I need the fellowship with other men. I need the fellowship with the family of God. And I don't want to be a phony for God. And my Bible reading and prayer times were lacking many times this year. And I don't want the test to fail this test from heaven in 2007. And I'm praying that God will continue to open his loving gates in 2008. But not just for me or my family, but his church all over the world, including all of you, that if we can shed his light, telling his story of what he is doing, and I want more chances to do that. Colleen says she wants more, and I'm sure Lisa does too. And I now have a new understanding of what trusting God is and his Holy Spirit is all about. But now I'm also more responsible to let his light shine. And my new verse for 2008 is Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I kept thinking about this and praying, well, what should I talk about? And I kept feeling like I was going to pray. And I want to say thank you to Lisa, Colleen, and Marcus for sharing how much God has led us and has taken care of us, and to thank him for this. And I would like to lead in prayer. Thank you for taking care of Marcus and me while I was in the hospital. Thank you for all the people praying for me and talking to me, even people I wasn't sure about their relationship with you. Thank you for healing my body and for helping me to relate to people. Thank you for Marcus's taking care of me. Thank you that you are taking care of Marcus and his health at this time. Thank you for our children and their spouses and children, that they love us and they are lovers and followers of you. Forgive me when I don't react right at something or someone. Help me listening to you for your guidance. Thank you so much for your love and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks to each of you who shared. It's sure great to be able to hear from you. And I know the rest of you have your own stories about how Jesus has been a light in your world, and I'd like to hear those too. The kids are probably getting a little antsy, so we'll have to bring this service to a close. And how we're going to do that is, first I'd like to read some scripture, and some of them have been read already, about Jesus being a light. And then we're going to close with a time of with some candle lighting. And so if you don't have a candle, there are some extra in the back. Not sure where those are located. Everybody get one? They're sitting in the back there, so maybe the ushers could, if you don't have a candle, and I'll let the parents decide the age, or maybe your spouses. I don't know if you can trust your spouse with a candle or not, but I'll let you decide that, who can be trusted with a candle. But we're going to read these scriptures, and then what we're going to do is light the center candle here on the Advent wreath. And the center candle is what's called the Christ candle. And so we're going to light that and then spread that light down. We'll have you all stand up, kind of. It will be kind of hard to make rows here. It'll be winding rows around the tables. And we'll pass that light down the row from one to another, just as a way of visualizing how Jesus coming into the world, his light, has spread to all of us. And we've been challenged to spread that to others as well. So listen as we read these scriptures, and then we'll prepare for the candle lighting. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them.
Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you.
Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel."
The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory.
Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end.
All right, let's stand together and see if you can form some kind of rose coming from the center and back out to the edges. You might have to push some chairs in towards the tables. And I'm going to ask somebody up here to get on both sides here so that they can be kind of the first one to send it out that direction. So if somebody wants to come up here and be the first one to light their candle. What we're going to do is we're going to do this and also sing a song together. And what was the name of that song again?
Here I Am to Worship.
Here I Am to Worship, yeah. I always call it Light of the World because I think of that when I think of this song. So I'm going to come down and light the Christ candle, and then we'll spread it out. Let's sing together. Somebody can turn the lights off, too.
Actually, after this song, we're going to go into Joy to the World. So I think your candles will last that long, but if they start getting dwindling, just blow them out. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, all fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
All right, let's blow our candles out together. One, two, three. Good job. Could turn the lights back on. Well, you kids did great today. I want to close our service with the scripture that Colleen read earlier, and just as a challenge to each of us. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Go light your world." You're dismissed.